First of all, I'd like to thank Brother Daryl for giving me the opportunity to preach. It's always a pleasure when the Lord gives you the opportunity. I've been doing this for 43 years. I've never had to worry about what I'm going to preach because the Lord always puts the sermon on my heart. So there's no problem there. You know, sometimes even a preacher can kind of stray off a little bit here and there. And like I told Brother Daryl this week, you know, he stole my sermon last Sunday. And I tried to, you know, I studied and I tried to find another sermon. But the Lord said, George, I'm going to kick you in your seat of your pants if you don't do what you're told. Why are you being so stubborn? And so I had to go back to my original sermon. So those of you that were here last Sunday night are going to hear some of the same things that Brother Daryl preached about. But it's something that evidently the Holy Spirit wants you to hear it again, because he put it on Brother Daryl's mind for last Sunday, and he put it on my mind for this Sunday. And so if you would, turn to your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 through 20. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Lord thy God, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he whom giveth thee the power to get this wealth. You have to excuse me, my eye is not focusing right tonight. And walk and worship them. I testify against you. This day ye say, surely you shall surely perish, and the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, I've been reading this verse over and over and over and over. And I've been thinking to myself, who's he talking to right now? What nation is he talking to right now? The United States people. The United States of America. We have left our God. We have drifted away to the almighty dollar. That's our God now. And this nation is the almighty dollar. We've left God. We've had so many times. And you know, a lot of preachers like to preach about the love of God. They don't like to preach about the revengeful God, the jealous God. And sometimes we need to hear about the jealous God. God is a jealous God. And he's up there right now looking down on this nation. And he's not going to turn his back on us, but he's waiting for us to repent. He's waiting for us to say, enough is enough. We need to quit following these false prophets, and we need to quit adoring the almighty dollar bill, because that's what a lot of churches are about nowadays. They're not about saving souls. They could care less about saving souls. They want that almighty dollar. I can remember when I first started preaching 43 years ago. I really can't remember that well because I'm losing my memory. But you know what? If a pastor would call me and say, George, could you preach a weekend revival, or could you preach a five-day revival? I never asked him, well, how much are you going to pay me? I was grateful to have the choice. The Lord opened that door for me. And I was grateful for that. I didn't care about the dollars. My object to preaching the gospel was to bring people to Christ. Amen. And that's what it should be. This church is doing a great job. We're seeing people be baptized. We're seeing people be coming to the Lord all the time here. And I know this church, the Holy Spirit is going to continue to work in this church because we got a pastor that follows his lead. I know that we don't have to worry, but there's some things that we have to look at, which is destroying this nation. This country was founded and built on Christian ethics. Back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, we were having revivals all over the place. We had a great revivalist in Billy Graham. He brought millions of people to Christ. And we were doing good. This country was prospering. We were one of the number one leaders. But what happened? We had some idiots come and destroy our beliefs. Number one, Madeline O'Hara, the atheist. She didn't believe in God. So what did she do? She started a campaign to take prayer out of school. We can't put up a nativity scene on public property. We can't do this. We can't do that. Where's our rights? Don't we have rights as Christians? We need to stand up for those rights. We need to speak out. Babies mamas, babies daddies. I hate them. I hate those two words. Baby mama, baby daddy. I hate them. What happened to my husband, my wife? What happened to that? Nowadays, it's acceptable for young couples to live together, have children. Most of the times, the father takes off. Don't even care about raising this child. That's an abomination to the Lord. Abortions. Don't even get me started on abortions. They say, well, it's a woman's right. It's a woman's right. It's her body. She can do with it. I agree to one point of that sentence. It's a woman's right. It's a woman's right to decide whether she wants to have sex or not. But once she has that illicit sex and she gets pregnant and she has a child in her, abortion is murder. There is no other thing you can call it but murder. It's an abomination to Christ. And believe me, when those doctors and those nurses that perform these abortions get up in heaven, they're going to have to answer to God. They're going to have to answer to God. And I wouldn't want to be them. But we let it happen as Christians because we don't speak up. We don't tell our congressmen and our senators and our leaders, this is wrong. How can you do this? It's wrong. You know, sometimes we as Christians are lambs being led to the slaughter. We are. Why? We don't want to cause a wave. I just lost my notes. But the thing is, you see, we have to cause waves sometimes. We can't continue to be led to the slaughter. We have to speak out. We have to look who we're voting for, people. If you check the voting record of your senator or your congressman, and if he is for abortions, don't vote for that man. Amen. It's that simple. Don't vote for that man. Vote him out of there. You know, As I've been going through this sermon, I have been comparing America and Israel. You know, Israel, believe me, they've been in trouble so many times. Read Judges. Read the Chronicles. Read 2 and 1 Kings. They have been in trouble so many times. And all of a sudden, the Lord will get fed up with Israel. He'll punish them. He'll put them in slavery. Well, we haven't been put in slavery yet. But it could happen, people. It could very well happen. Because I know the Lord is not pleased with us right now. He is not pleased with looking down in this nation and to see the way we're going. We are getting further and further away from Jesus Christ. Look at your TV today. Look at your TV today. What's on TV? Trash. Trash. Nothing but trash. There's one program I love to watch on TV, and that's Touched by an Angel. I'm going to tell you why. They always have the same storyline. God loves you. He's there for you. Now, you put more programs like that on there, you're not going to see them. You know why you're not going to see them? They don't make money. Trash makes money. Babies, mamas, and babies, daddies. Let's get into this a little bit. When a man makes a child, in my day, I'm an old man. I was raised on good old Christian values. If you had sex with someone and you had a child, number one, you married that person. Number two, you took care of that child. You raised that child. Number three, you brought that child up in a Christian home. You know, I was teasing Adam here the evening before church. I told him, I said, Adam, I'm gonna pat you on the back. Don't let your head get too big. I remember about a month back, I think it was, Pastor and Adam's little boy was baptized. And you know the main thing I remembered about that whole baptism? Two men, just as happy as could be. They were praising the Lord. They had smiles on their faces, Grandpa and Daddy. You know, that touched my heart. You know why? Adam did his job. He raised his child. He taught his child about Jesus Christ. And his child decided to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and was baptized by Grandpa. And believe me, Grandpa had a big smile on his face too. You know, that's what we need to see. We need to see more parents being parents. I can remember when I was a child, way, way back when, that when the street lights come out at night, if I was in a house, my butt got spanked. My mother didn't let me roam the streets at night. She was a loving mother. She taught me right from wrong. She taught me respect. She taught me that saying yes, sir, and no, sir, to my elders was a proper thing to do. That's parenting. Nowadays, half the fathers are not even around. There's a show on TV I watched once. I don't know what the name of it. I call it Who's My Baby's Daddy. This one lady was on there. And she had four different guys having DNA tests to find out who her baby's daddy was. This is glorifying. This is something that we want to see on our TV. Not me. I don't want to glorify someone for having four different baby's daddies. I want to see what that baby's daddy's going to do if he ever comes steps up to the plate. Trash. Trash on TV. Let's look at what we can do as Christians. What can we do now? What can we do to turn this around? Number one, like I said, check and see who you're voting for. Check and see what they stand for. Are they Christian? Do they love the Lord? Or are they out for the almighty dollar? You know, we got so many lobbyists out there right now that are paying these senators and these congressmen big bucks to vote their way for things. They don't care about us little people unless we speak up. Maybe we need, maybe we need a 2 million man Christian march on Washington. Wouldn't that really shake people up in this country if we had 2 million Christian people marching on Washington saying, we are fed up with this. We're not going to put up with it anymore. We want our rights back. Amen. We want our rights back. We want to be able to pray in school. What's wrong with my son praying in school in a silent prayer? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? There's not a thing wrong with it. If you don't want to pray, shut up and just sit there or stand there. But don't take away my right to do it. They can teach evolution in school, but we can't teach creation in school. Where's our right there? If they can teach evolution, why can't we teach Christianity? What's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. They don't want to hear what God's got to say. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If some idiot out there wants to think that he come from a monkey, that's fine with me. Because he might be acting like a monkey. That's fine with me. But I'm going to tell you why. My Bible tells me that I was created in the likes of God, in the image of God. Amen. That's what I'm going to believe. My ancestors weren't monkeys. My ancestors were saints. I was created in the image of God. That's why I'm so beautiful. Because I was created in the image of God. My Bible also tells me that everything in this Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It's to be taken literally. Some, you know, nowadays these modern theologians and that, they tell you, well, hey, you know, yeah, the Bible was inspired by God, but you can't take everything literally. I mean, Moses didn't really part the Red Sea. It was jello or some other stupid thing. You know what? The Bible tells me that Moses parted the Red Sea. I believe that Moses parted the Red Sea. Amen. Very simple. No questions. It's in the Word of God. And we need to really start getting into the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, believe me, we have a lot of false prophets out there today. We have millions of false prophets out there today. Like I was talking to Brother Don about this one. He's a black preacher, and he has got to sing. Send me money, and I'll send you a bottle of water. And this bottle, I bet you've seen it on TV just by your looks. And this water is going to make you rich. Baloney. You know what's going to make you rich? Believing in God, giving your tithe, and he'll reward you. Coming to church every Sunday. You know the richest thing I got in my whole life? Is my God. Amen. My Father. Amen. Because with him, George don't worry about a thing. George is happy in his life. I'm 73. Lord could call me home tomorrow. I'm ready to go. You know why? Because I put everything on my Father's shoulders. I put everything on his shoulders. I don't make a move anymore without asking my Father if it's okay. And that's what he's there for. That's what he's there for. He's there to give us the blessings. I get mad. I get mad if I come to church and I don't get a blessing. Of course, here I don't have to worry about that because I'm always walking out with a blessing. There's something about this church, believe me, I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit loves us. He loves us. He's taking care of this church. And you know what? That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. We shouldn't have to worry about things. You got a bill that's coming up, you can't make the payment? Go to your Father. He'll help you some way or other. You got a child that's being misbehaved? Go into your owner's manual. He'll help you. He'll tell you what to do if you get in the Word of God. That's the thing, you know. Some people think, well, I know I'm ventured to say that every household has a Bible someplace in their home. Someplace there's a Bible. It's the best-selling book. Someplace in everybody's home is a Bible. But how many of them people open that Bible every day, read it, study it, get on their knees, pray for guidance? In my household, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you call my house between 10 o'clock in the morning and 11:30. Because I'm not going to answer the phone. I might be there, but I'm not going to answer the phone. Why? I am studying my Bible. And I will not be bothered unless it's an emergency. And you better say on my answering service, George, it's an emergency, pick up. Because I won't pay attention to you. That's my study time with the Lord. And we need that. We need to get back into it. We need to get back into the Lord. We need to have another Billy Graham. We really do. We need to have someone to bring this country back into revival. And believe me, this country is in bad need of a revival. It's in bad need. You know, if I was going to try to make a living now as an evangelist, I'd starve to death. How many churches have you seen in the last two of the 3 years that's had a revival? How many? I haven't seen any. I'm not giving you a hint, brother. But it's the truth, you know. We need to start coming back. We need to start doing things. One thing we can do as Christians, we can pray our hearts out. We can pray to the Lord, Lord, this country needs a revival. You need to send us someone to bring us back. Bring us back to where we were. Because if we don't, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's a loving God. I'll be the first one to agree to that. But you got to remember, he's also a jealous God. He's also an avenging God. He's not going to let us get away with this for too long before something does happen. Maybe 9/11 was a warning. I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe he was trying to tell us something there. Hey, you've gotten too far away from me. Come back. I don't know how the Lord thinks, but I know one thing, and I'll guarantee you this with every breath of my life. If we turn back to the Lord, He's there waiting for us with open arms. He's there waiting for us with open arms. That's all we have to do is turn back. We have to start taking him in consideration. We have to get back in the Word. We have to start doing things that are Christian-like. You know what my life. I can't think of the word I want to use. My life meaning is, if there's something I want to do, I ask myself one question: what would Jesus do? And if I can honestly see my Savior, my Christ, my big brother doing it, it's okay for me to do it. But if I can't see him walking down the street with a cigarette in his mouth and a can of beer in his hand, I won't do it. I won't do it. What will Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Think of that. That little simple phrase, if we all lived up to that, it would be a better place. It would be a better place. What would Jesus do? Well, it's a little early, but I'm going to turn it over to the pastor, because I have said everything I say, but I want you, but one thing more. Honestly, look who you're voting for when you vote. Look at all these senators and congressmen right now that are in sex scandals. Is that the kind of hero you want? Is that the type of person you want running this country? Not me. I'm going to vote against them next time. That's my right. See, now in Jerusalem, whenever the kings turned away from Christ, we'd have the Israelites had to wait until God took care of that king. Until he got fed up and either murdered them or took them captive or something. We don't have to. We're lucky. We don't have to do that. We got the power of the vote. We got the power of the vote. We're lucky. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't change, we're going to see one angry guy. And it's up to us. It's up to us. We're the only ones that can change it. We can change it by prayer, getting back into the Bible, and speaking up. We don't have to be lambs led to the slaughter. We have a voice, and we need to use that Christian voice. We need to use it now. We need to get up off our duffs and start fighting for our rights as Christians. If they can teach, now I'm hearing that they want to start teaching Islam in the public schools. But we can't teach Christianity? Where's our rights? Speak up, people. Speak up, Brother Darrell.